been sick. Anything else? Yes, ma'am? Unspoken. Remember, Carol's got unspoken. Anything else going on, Miss Samantha? She was brought up Thursday night too, so yeah, praise the Lord for that. Anything else going on? Good to see Brother Alonzo's got him a new ride out there, brand new, Jackson. That's just, us poor folk, we look at that and just dream, don't we? We don't know nothing about yet.
Wouldn't want to go through what he did to get it.
No, I wouldn't want to do that. No, he got a good deal out of it, but praise the Lord, they weren't hurt, I tell you. Amen. 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 Because that could have been a bad deal that day. In fact, the guy that called it in said, you know, he said it was a head-on collision. That's why they had 8 cops out there.
I just drove there months before that.
And all right, Brother Ben, how about you open our service in prayer tonight?
Lord, we want to thank you for a glorious day today. We want to thank you for the ability to come in to this house of God and worship. Thank you for all my brothers and sisters in Christ that showed up tonight. And those that show up, Lord.
Amen.
May you put on the preacher's heart, Lord, that we're going to need to get out, go outside the four walls and be an example of the true Christian. Thank you again for being here for us today. Lord, on the cross. All the things we thank in Jesus' name, as a cross, we love you for us.
Amen. Amen. All right, I preached this morning on to judge or not to judge. That is the question. We talked about the definition of the word judge. There was 2 definitions. There was a noun and a verb. We're the verb. We're not the noun. We looked at the demand for judgment. Everybody judges something. Then we looked at the doctrine of judgment, the Bible. It occurs. The word judge occurs 758 times in the Bible, the King James Bible. The Word of God is called judgment. It's 294. And we looked at the duty. The duty of a child of God, we're to be solved. We're the ones that's what's right. We're the only ones that got the truth. We're the only ones, and our duty is to judge and not mean-spirited or nothing like that. But you and I, we are the salt of the earth. We talked about that, and I want to give you one more point tonight about it. It's a longer point, and I actually had this in the message, but it got longer, so I thought I want to break it out. It's important. I want to preach on the dangers and directions of judging. The Bible has some specific things about it. Matthew 7 says this. You know, the Bible's a book of common sense. And you know, like somebody said, common sense is not so common anymore, amen? And Carl Lackey used to say, if it ain't common sense, God ain't in it, is what he used to say. And the Bible said in Matthew 12:37, and the common people heard him gladly. And the people normally that respond to the Lord normally are just common folk. And God speaks in common sense. It says in Ecclesiastes 6:1, there's an evil which I've seen under the sun, and it is common among men. The Bible said over in 1 Corinthians 10, we learn verse 13, there is no temptation taking you, but it's common to man. And we're just common folk. And God gives us just some common sense things. In Matthew 7:1, here's some good stuff here he's talking about here. And he's talking about judging. And it's a good, simple, common sense stuff God gives us. And he says this, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and will I measure your meat, ye shall be measured again. And what beholdest, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now that's good common sense. That ought to not offend anybody. That right there, it ought to be just say, amen, preacher. That's good common sense kind of thing. And I'm going to give you a few things about it. And the Lord gives us some directions and dangers about judging people. And let me just say, before I get started on this, we're talking about here, notice what it says, if thy brother... Why beholdest the mote in thy brother's? It's talking about one Christian to another. Not talking about the world. I'm not talking about that tonight. Number one, the world's already been judged and they're going to hell. When I talk to a sinner, I'm as compassionate and kind and tender as I can possibly be. I don't bring up their sin. I don't care if they're half naked. I don't care if they got 46,000 tattoos. I don't care if they got so many earrings they look like they fell in Bass Pro Shop. I don't care. I'm looking one thing. I'm looking at that soul.
Amen.
That's the way the Lord was. You read your Bible. You'll never hear me talk about that. Now, there may be some exception if you know somebody and have a conversation. But when it comes to that person on the street, I'm going to do everything I can to get them to Jesus Christ. I'll worry about the sin later. And the guy that witnessed to me, when he talked to me about the Lord, if he had told me about my sin, I never got saved. I didn't have any remorse with it. The Bible talks about the pleasures of sin. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it after I got saved. It wasn't like I read my Bible, and then I enjoyed it then. But I said, I want to serve God more than I want this sin. It's still there. So I don't deal with that. When Jesus dealt with that woman at the well, you know what he did? He dealt with her need. When he got through, he told her, go get your husband. He dealt with the sin after he got it right. That woman taken into adultery, John chapter 8. He said, woman, he said, where are those condemners? She said, where are they? He said, I don't condemn you anymore. But he said, go, don't you sin no more though. He dealt with it. But when it comes to that sinner, brother, I want to be tender and I want them to get them to Calvary. The Bible said one time, it said a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. If you get in there and start preaching the hell out of them, you won't get them out of hell.
Yeah.
What you want to try to do is get them Jesus Christ. Get them saved. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Brother, when I got saved, then I started cleaning up. So this is talking about a brother to a brother, or sister to a sister, or a Christian to a Christian here. It's a whole different deal. And let me say this. According to this verse here, and I'm going to show you, there's nothing wrong with judging and talking to a brother or sister that's out of the way. In fact, if you love them, you'll do it. You're not there to hurt them. You're there to help them. Just like my earthly brothers here on this earth. Brother, they've dealt with me a lot more than I've dealt with them. But I've had a few times I've had to deal with my little brother. I've had to go get him out of jail some, you know. And that kind of thing. That was after I got saved, you know. They took me off a couple times and dropped me down the road, you know. Don't come back. One of those deals. But, you know, if you love somebody, you try to help them. And that's what the Lord's talking about here. You want to help them. You don't want to hurt them. You're not there in anger. You're there in love. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong for... And they're not talking about preachers. We're talking about Christians. We're talking about men to men and women to women. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, you ought to do that. Now I'm going to give you a few things about it here. Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to give you a few things. And I want to say the first thing you need to know... First thing when you start judging another Christian or dealing with it, number one, I want to say you need to know the truth. Don't listen to gossip. Know the truth. Know the truth, what's going on. If somebody tells you something, don't believe it. If you see it or hear it, that's different. But people tell me things all the time. It goes in this ear and out the other. It said, for what judgment you judge you. Don't be quick to jump to conclusions. It'll get you in trouble. I hear all kinds of things, you know. It goes in this ear and out the other. I'm deaf anyway. Doesn't really matter. I say, I got a saying, and I say, it's not what you don't know that gets you in trouble. It's what you don't know that you don't know gets you in trouble. See, there's a difference. Because if you don't know something, usually, Miss Carol, you'll scratch your head and say, I don't know. But when you don't know that you don't know, that's when you think you know and you get in trouble. And there's a difference. There's a huge difference. I've run across people like that. And the first thing before you judge or jump in jail, know the truth. Make sure that you know the truth. I've been through all kinds of things like that, you know. I remember a while back, I think I was telling you, I was out here working on the light outside, out there, you know, and I was working on that porch light. I was putting it up there and I had a pen and I was marking some stuff, brother, a dot, and I was standing on that ladder and I had a black pen. I put it in my mouth. Some cars roared by and waved. I thought, I better get that out of my mouth because somebody will go by and say, that preacher's out there smoking a cigar. I saw him.
Yeah.
That's all And next thing he'd get, hey, I saw him smoking a cigar and drunk out in front of the church out there, standing on the ladder. That's what it takes. Know the truth. Yeah. Dr. Ruckman one time, he tickled me. And he don't have any patience. He's the most impatient man I've ever been around in my life. And he used to, on the way home from church Sunday nights, he was telling us about this one, a sermon. And he'd come by, he'd go home, and he'd make a shortcut through Sammy's Go-Go parking lot. So he wouldn't have to go all the way to the traffic light. So he'd cut right through their traffic parking lot. And before he did, there was a little 7-Eleven, and Ruckman liked these little old sausage Slim Jims, you know. He said he'd always stopped at 7-Eleven, get one of them Slim Jims, put it in his mouth, get in his car, and cut through the parking lot of Sammy's Go-Go. He said that message, he said, I'd quit doing this because somebody's going to say, I saw Dr. Roman come out of Sammy's Go-Go with a cigar in his mouth. Know the truth before you start judging and jumping. I've been a manager for years. Miss Debbie's a manager. She knows this. Some of these people have with deals with people. And I had this two group in my team, and they fought all the time. Oh, my goodness. They were like kids. And one of them was named Daryl, and one of them was named Renee. And old Daryl, he'd come in there mad sometimes, and they always want me to fire the other one. You need to fire him. He's not doing a good job. It was always that way. He'd come in there and he'd say, I learned how to deal with him, Miss Debbie. He'd come in there and say, sit down and say, Renee called me a big fat pig, I heard. I mean, he'd be stupid stuff like that. And I let him go a while. You let him get off their steam, you know, that's what you do. And then we get through, he's sitting there, you know what I'd do? I'd pick up my phone and say, hey, Renee, could you come in my office for a few minutes? He's over shaking. What'd you do that for? Said, I want to hear what she's got to say. She'd come in there and I'd say, Renee, you called Daryl a big fat pig. She said, I didn't call him no big fat pig. I called him a big ugly dog. You know what we'd do? We'd get laughing, cutting up. 10 minutes later, they'd shake hands and leave. Next day, they'd come do it again. But you know what? Know the truth. Find out what's going on. Know the truth. You know what I found out years ago? People like a gossip and a lie a lot more than the truth. If you throw out a lie, they'll take it and run with it. We got this one friend of ours. Bless his heart. This one girl we know, this lady we know, she's not all there. My wife led her to the Lord years ago. But she went around and she told everybody in the church that she was that pastor's concubine. You know about that. Y'all know what a concubine is? That's a woman for the pleasure of the man. And she told everybody in the church, go and tell them that she was the pastor's concubine. He got her and had to go all to everybody's house, knock on the door, go in their house and get her to tell them that wasn't true. You know what? You got to know the truth. I'm going to tell you, a lie goes out there a whole lot quicker and easier and faster than the truth. I preached that message a while back on a little bird told me. I said, words got wings. Now fly away. And they wonder where and go places they don't go. And they'll waddle around the dirt and get dirty by the time they get to you. They completely change. People like to hear a big fat lie, don't they, Miss Jane? They don't like to hear the truth. Truth is not exciting, Miss Samantha. Charles Spurgeon was preaching one time. He was preaching the gospel up there. And he noticed the people were kind of nodding off. And they do that here. Everybody does. I do it. They're kind of nodding off a little bit. He thought, I'm going to do something. So he says, and last week I was down in the country, and I went down the country road, and I saw this farmer. I stopped at his house, and he had a sow with 10 little litters, little piggies, a litter of them. He said they had bright red eyes, every one of them. He said right in the middle of their head, they had a big old horn, every one of them coming out their head. He said every one of them had wings like on them. And everybody was, they woke up on that. They was listening, man. And Spurgeon stopped and said, see there, I'm telling you the great truth, and for you're going to sleep, and I'm telling you a big fat lie, and you all woke up. You know what? A big fat lie goes a lot longer than the truth. So what do you say, brother? And when you get judging, make sure you got the facts. Make sure you know the truth. Make sure it's not somebody told you. Make sure before you bring a brother or sister, you know what you're talking about. Make sure you know the truth. And make sure it's out of this book. This is the truth, amen.
Thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. This book will free you. One of the Baptist distinctives is this Bible is a final authority of all matters of faith and practice. And make sure you're lining up with the book. Know the truth. You know what I say about opinions? Opinions are like armpits. Everybody's got a couple and they stink. I'm not interested in your opinion. I have even, well, preacher, my opinion. I'm not interested. I'm interested in the book. Give me the book. Know the truth. Everybody's got opinion. I saw a great bumper sticker the other day, Miss Karen. It said, "Fight truth decay, read your Bible." Fight truth decay, read your Bible. That's because you don't know the truth. You say, what do? I say the first thing, you need to know the truth. Make sure you got it right. Take your Bible, turn over to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. I've had so many things happen like that, you know. I remember when I was in Bible school, and my roommate, Wolfgang Ottwanger, was his name. He was a genius from Germany. And he came in one night and he said, somebody questioned your integrity and honesty the other day. I said, are you serious? What's going on? He said, well, Brother David, this guy, I didn't even know him at the time. I later got to know him. He's a good friend now. He said, David said you stole some of his wife's records. Singing records in Bible school. I said, I don't even know David, and I don't know his wife. I don't have a record player. What would I want a record for? It turned out to be another Terry, a girl that she loaned them to. And when they heard Terry, they thought it was me. And Terry done stole her records. Know the truth! I could have got kicked out of school for that if that thing would have run around, man. Rugman said, this guy's out here stealing people's records. Here's a girl named Terry McDonald that had her records she loaned them to. Next thing you know, I'm a thief. Know the truth! Look at John chapter 7, verse 24. It says this, I love this. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Don't judge a book by the cover. That's what we say. That's what the Bible said. Sometimes you look at something, it don't look exactly right, and it may not look that way, but the Bible said don't look at it at that appearance. I go down and walk at Cosby Lake, and I was telling my wife the other day, I've been on the road, man. I hadn't had anybody turn a track down in 2 or 3 trips. She had a bunch of them yesterday. And I was telling her, some of the meanest looking people are the ones that take the tracks and happy and satisfied kind of thing. I was at the heart clinic last Thursday, and I'd been giving out tracks, talking to people about the Lord, and they sent me out in the hall to wait for my echogram. And there was a lady sitting, a young lady, she was 2 seats down from me, sitting there too. And she didn't look real friendly, really. And she was probably in her 30s, nice looking young lady. And I gave her a gospel tract and got talking to her. She was saved, her and her husband had a ministry. I told some of you about it. Goes all around the world, a video, and her ministry, they're called, it's a Lantern Vision. And they go all around the world, video and missionaries, and she's fixing to head to Taiwan. She is from Romania. Her name was Floria. Beautiful young girl. Just love God, man. But when I first saw her sitting over there, she didn't look like she would want to take a track. Can't judge them by their appearance. You never know. The Bible said, judge not by appearance, but judge righteous judgment. It's like our street preaching. We have people say, I wouldn't do that. I heard them say, I don't think God's in that. You know what I tell them? Come and try it. Come and try it. Miss Karen said the same thing first time. She said, I can't believe I'm out here doing this. Now she can't wait to do it. Brother Chris, the first time he came, he said, I'm just going to sit here. I might hold a sign. And boy, 2 minutes later, he is burning the sidewalk up. You know what he said? Know the truth. Don't just look at it and say, well, God's not in that. Check it out. Know the truth. Let me tell you, if God's not in it, He wouldn't in none of those preachers in the Bible. Or none of them in past history, wouldn't in none of those. So what are you trying to say? Know the truth. Some of the guys in Bible school, there were some of them I never thought God would ever use. I mean, some of them had their brain cooked on dope. Man, Bruce Varner, that guy, he couldn't walk a straight line. He is so goofy. Pastor's a huge church up in New York. I've been up there and preached for him before. Big old church. Another guy in there was old Alan Ryman. Alan was lanky, goofy guy. Had this big old smile like Gomer Pyle. had about 15 kids, I think, him and his wife. Spent half his life in prison. And that guy was so goofy and lanky and everything. I thought God would never use that guy. We had preaching class. He couldn't preach. He's running about 1,000 up in Maryland now. Say what you say. God knows what He's doing. Know the truth. Sometimes you think, well, God's not in that thing. Listen, God's all over it. Sometimes. Know the truth. Know the truth. Sometimes you may think you heard something or saw something, and you didn't hear what you thought you saw or heard what you said. The way it is. Me and my wife, we'll watch TV sometimes. She'll say, we did this other night. She said, did you hear what he said? I said, what did he say? No. She'll say, he said. I said, I didn't hear that. You all do that too, huh? How many people do that in church? We'll come home sometime, we place preaching or something. She'll say, you hear Brother Gibbs say? I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that. I mean, you know, sometimes you think you heard what you heard, think you heard, you didn't hear. That's why the Bible said, let every word be established by two or three witnesses. Make sure you know what you're talking about. Because a lot of times, know the truth. Know the truth. Like old Barney that time on Andy Griffin, remember that? Cut his finger, a little bitty cut. Y'all remember that? He had to get a Band-Aid. Next day, one of the ladies called up and said, did you hear Barney? He shot himself on the finger. And another one called, did you hear Barney Fife? He shot himself. And another one called, did you hear Barney Fife? He's dead. He shot himself. Y'all heard that? And they called up, Barney answered the phone. Hey, we just heard Barney's dead. Know the truth. Just know the truth or you junk and jab. Where you start judging, make sure you know what's going on. I go down to Coffee Lake Park, and I told you about this. They see snakes every once in a while, and I've told a couple of them. I said, if you see one, let me know. I'm pretty good with snakes. I said, I know what they are and all that. I've caught them all my life. And they saw one day, and they told me, and when I got there, the snake was gone. Well, I come around the lake, one of those ladies said, are you okay? I said, sure, what's going on? She said, I heard you got bit by that rattlesnake over there. I'm serious, they already had me laid on a slab, man. Say what he said, know the truth. Know the truth. Not only that, I'll tell you something else, give you something else. Slow down the train. That's a biggie. Slow down the train. Don't let your feelings and your emotions and your anger overtake the truth. That'll get you in trouble. Every time, think before you speak. I work with a girl named Leslie. Leslie was great to work with. I worked for her. She worked for me one time. Very smart, very business lady. She left Baptist and became a VP for regions. And Leslie was very smart. She could get things done, man, and a very business professional. But boy, she had a short fuse. Woo! And 99% of the time, she was great. But there was some time, boy, that fuse would go off. And I mean, Brother Zito, a lot of times in IT and computers, they put us in meetings with I'm in meetings with CEO and CIO and this, all the big shots of presidents, because they like to beat up on IT people. I'm a human pinata, as I tell people. Yes, sir. No, sir. I'll look into that, sir. Yes, sir. I understand, sir. I know what you're saying, because people hate computers. They blame everything in the world on computers. So you go in there so they can beat you up. And I learned just, yes, sir. No, sir. I understand. Yes, sir. I'll check into that, sir. You're right, sir. Yes, sir. But oh, Leslie wouldn't, Brother Ben. Woo! Boy, they get on her, and man, she'd take off like a rocket. And I told her one time, I said, Leslie, you're the only person I've ever met in my life that can speak a whole sentence in one word. That's the way she was. She'd get going. And the CIO, Rich, he liked her. Because Leslie would do good work. So he'd try to work and he'd try to mentor and coach her. And he'd tell her, he'd say, now Leslie, when you get that feeling, here's what you do. Take a deep breath and count to 10 before you speak. Go 1, 2. In some of those meetings, you see over sometimes and it get kind of rough and those meetings get hated at times. You see over going, 1, 2, 3. It works sometimes. Sometimes it didn't. What do you say? I say sometimes, boy, you jump and jab and all that. Slow down the train. Put some brakes on it. Think about it. Take your Bible. Turn over to Proverbs 29, James chapter 1. I had a preacher call me a couple of weeks ago, I think I told you about. he said something about me to another preacher. We were sitting there standing and talking, and somewhat disparaging. It wasn't a big deal. I didn't even remember it, to be honest. But he called, asked for forgiveness. He said he'd been bothering for 2 years, kind of thing. And he told me, he said, as soon as I said that, the words went out of my mouth. He said, "Man, I shouldn't have said that." And you, how many times have we ever done that? You know, "Man, I shouldn't have said." You know what? You can't go back and pull it back and put it back in there. Can't do it. Andy Griffith, you ever seen that Andy Griffith that time, you know, and he's talking to one of his girlfriend that's running for something, and he says something about women can't run in politics, and he said, let me put those words back in there. Those mean old words came out. Let me put them back in there. Can't put them back in, can you? Can't do it. Slow down the train. Look at Proverbs 29:20. "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him." Slow it down. Look at James chapter 1 verse 19. You know what I've got? I got a 24-hour rule. It's a good rule to have. I don't hardly buy anything. If I look at something, I'll review it a little bit. If it's something over $20 or something that I'm thinking about buying, I'll sleep on it and give it 24 hours. If I got to make a decision about something, most of the time, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sleep on it a little while and think about it. Kind of get my head clear, especially if it's something big. I want to make sure I've just cleared air a little bit. Slow it down. Slow it down. Look at James chapter 1 verse 19. As a preacher up here, I take a lot of notes. Most preachers do. Not that I don't know this. I could give you this message out of a single note. I memorize these messages. Most preachers do. But you know why I have notes? So I don't say something really, really, really dumb. That's why I got this. Is kind of my script. Now I wonder some, but I don't go too bad. But if you don't have them, you know what? Before long you say something really, really dumb. Say I'm dumb anyway. The Bible said a fool is known by the multitude of his words. And preachers get up here in a bunch of words. Look what it said in James chapter 1:19. "Wherefore, my beloved..." This is good stuff. This is good common sense. Slow down. It says this: "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." Slow it down. Put the brakes on every once in a while. You'll find out a lot of times when you slow it down, it's not really that big a deal. I talked to Brother Jared, a preacher, this week, and he's having problems in his church, and I told him, I said, "Brother Jared, slow it down. Slow it down." I said, "Just let it simmer." I said, "It'll either fix itself or it'll go away." But I said, "Just slow it down a little bit, because once you commit," I said, "there's no going back. Just calm it down. Just let it ride a little while. It'll normally just settle itself out and it'll be okay one way or another. But slow it down. Don't be too quick to jump." 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, "Therefore judge nothing before the time." Give it some time. Judge nothing before the time. Proverbs 25:8 says this: "Go not forth hastily to survive. To strive thou shalt know what not to do in the end." Sometimes you jump out there too quick and you think, "What did I just do?" We know everybody done it. We all do it. You say, "Slow down the train." Slow it down. Matthew 23:24 says, "You blind guys, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." Sometimes when you jump too fast, you know what you do? You swallow a camel. And you strain it at a gnat sometimes. I mean, we've all done it. You say, "Slow it down, think it out, pray about it, give it some time before you jump." Look at Romans, take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 14. What are you trying to say? Before you judge a brother or judge anybody like that, number one, know the truth. Make sure you know what's going on, especially by the Word of God. Next two, slow it down a little bit. Think about it. Pray about it. Give it some time. Maybe it's not as bad as what you thought. Maybe you'll get over it. Maybe they'll get victory. Maybe it'll go away. Just slow it down a little bit. Look at Romans chapter 14. This is good stuff here. Romans chapter 14. I mean, you and I, we was watching them dogs out the other day, and they're over there biting fleas off each other. We could do that, couldn't we, Brother Dot? We all got enough fleas here. We could start biting fleas off each other. You know what? Nothing in the world would ever get done. Sometimes you slow it down. Let it go. Not a big deal. It's just a gnat. It's just a little flea. Romans chapter 14. That's what this is talking about. This is good stuff. Look at 14:1. Him that is weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. Paul's saying, don't dispute him. Don't get on him. That's what he said. This guy's weak in the faith. Receive him, but not to doubtful disputation. Disputing means you argue with him. And don't make him doubt worse off. Look what it says in the next verse. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Hey! So what? You don't like Captain D's? That don't mean you're not saved. We're not going to have a church split. I want to go to Captain D's. First God, I'll never go back to that church. They won't go to Captain D's. I don't like Logan's. I'm not going back to that church. All they want to do is go to Logan's. Hey, you like to eat this? You say tomato, I say tomato. Doesn't matter. You like fried chicken, I like baked chicken. It doesn't matter. That's what Paul's saying. Hey, don't let these little bitty things, just cause this guy likes this food, he likes this food, don't make a big deal out of what he's saying over there. Because you know what? Church is split for less than that. Brother Lackett talks about it, one of them tapes. He knows a church that split over a jar of honey. Somebody got a jar of honey and they didn't get one, the whole church split. Slow it down! Slow it down. Verse 3, let him that eateth despise him that eateth not, but let him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. So what? You like French fries? You like onion rings? I don't care. You don't like Mexican? I don't care. Doesn't mean nothing to get mad about. That's what he's talking about. But you know, some Christians would. Some would. They would. I don't think you ought to be eating that pizza, preacher. That's not good. I've heard it. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his master he standeth and falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up for God, for God shall make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let man be fully persuaded in his own. Hey! You like this day? I like that day. You know what my wife is? She's a morning person. You know what she does? She likes it. I'm a morning person. She's afternoon. You know what? I don't care. I'm not going to divorce her because she's an afternoon person. I'm not going to say, I can't stand it. I like to get up and go walk around the park early in the morning. I'm a morning person. She likes to go in the afternoon, her and Sarah. Sarah don't get up till 1 o'clock anyway. So and that's when you wake her up and pull her out. That's what Paul's saying. He said, hey, this is not a big deal. Don't worry about this. There's some things you need to worry about, brother. But that's not one of them. Slow it down. Slow it down. Think about it. Pray about it. Give it some time. Normally it'll just go away. Half the things. Sometimes you don't even know what that person's going through, you know. Take your Bible, turn over to Galatians chapter 6. What are you trying to say? Know the truth, number one. Make sure you know it. Make sure you know that book. That's where the truth. Slow it down. Think about it. Pray about it. Give it some time. Galatians chapter 6, I love this verse. It's a great verse. Watch this. Galatians 6:1 says this, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, watch it, ye which are spiritual. There's the key part. Not the flesh. This is not about the flesh. It ought to be the Holy Spirit leading you. It ought to be the Spirit of God leading you. Ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Slow it down. There's people go through things in this church that I know about. I don't see how they make it, brethren. They haven't been through things. Sometimes you don't know. The Bible said, ye that are spiritual, restore them in the spirit of meekness. But I'm going to tell you, you might be in the same place, that Bible says. You might be in the same place one day. That person going through some things, brother, that you know nothing about. Slow it down. Let me say something else over in Matthew chapter 7. I want to say something else. Look in the mirror. That's what Jesus is saying. Look at Matthew 7. And why beholdest thou mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thy own eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thy own eye. You know what he's saying? Hey,
Hey, you got a big old 4x4 beam sticking out of your eye, and you're trying to get a little splinter out of his eye. You know what Jesus said? Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror and make sure you're not the one with a beam in your eye. You know, over there at that time, the Last Supper, they're sitting there at the supper. And Jesus over and he says, one of y'all going to betray me. You know what they say? Lord, is it I? I got a message on Lord, is it I? And you know what? That's the right question. That's where you need to always start with. Start with Lord, is it I? Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. That's what Jesus is saying over there. He's saying, hey, you're trying to straighten out your brother with a little splinter in his eye and you're walking around with a 4x4 beam sticking out of yours. And I've seen that happen many times. That'll get you in trouble quick. A lot of time, make sure you took a look in the mirror. Make sure, like those apostles, Lord, is it I? I'm going to tell you right up front, I'm not going to tell you and preach to you about something I'm not going to do. Now, I might be a sorry piece of dirt, but I'm not that sorry. If I tell you to read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, I'm reading my Bible. If I tell you to come to visitation, get to visitation, get to visitation, if I can make it, I'll be here. You're not going to show up visitation and say, oh, where's Brother Terry? He said, well, he said he's going fishing today. Where's he, Brother Terry? Well, he said he's just kind of tired laying around today. I'm not going to preach to you and tell you. I'm going to look in the mirror, first of all, and say, is there a beam in my eye? I'm going to make sure, brother, if I preach to you and tell you to go out and witness and serve the Lord, I'm going to be the first one out there. And that's the way it ought to be, brethren. Look in the mirror. What Jesus is saying, hey, make sure you're not it. Take your Bible. Turn it over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Show you what the mirror is. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. You know Jesus. Well, I'll get to this and that part in a minute here. But look at James chapter 1. Here's the mirror. Here's the mirror. James chapter 1 says this. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers. 1:22 of the word, not hearers, only deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. It's his Bible, is what he's talking about. Look at it. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh in the perfect law of liberty, that's his book, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You say, what is that? That's a man that looked in the mirror of the Word of God. And he didn't just look at it, forget about it, and said, huh, I don't need that. But the Bible said he looked at it and deal with a doer of the word, not a hearer. And he said, that man is blessed. We're trying to say, look in the mirror. Make sure there's not a 4x4 sticking out of your eye. And you're trying to reach down and grab a little splinter out of your brother's eye. Take your Bible, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So what he's saying, know the truth. Make sure you know what's going on. Don't believe anything anybody tells you. Know the truth. Slow it down. Put some brakes on. Take the 24-hour rule. Go to bed. Pray about it. Search your heart. Search the Word of God. A lot of times it goes away. A lot of times you realize that's not that big a deal. And look in the mirror. Get in the Word of God. Make sure you're not walking around with a 4x4 beam in your eye and can't even see the splinter. Look over 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 says this. I mean, brother, this is just good common sense teaching right here. This will be good for anything in your life, not just the Christian walk. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 says this. But he that is spiritual, notice it, spiritual, judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. And I'm going to tell you, the only way you'll be able to be that spiritual man that judge all things is when you look into the mirror of the Word of God.
And brother, when you look in that mirror of the Word of God, I love that last part. That's my favorite part, by the way. Yet He Himself judges no man. When you're right with God, the Bible said, they that love the law, nothing shall offend them. Nothing in the world offend them. When you're right with God and you're spiritual, then you don't worry about what anybody says. You're walking with God, got the fellowship with God, brother, and that's when God speaks to you. I mean, I've heard preachers get all over preachers before. Billy Graham's a good example, man. They were all over that guy, left and right. He just kept doing what he did, serving God. Yet he's judging no man. He knew where his faith and his focus was. I want to say, know the truth. Know the truth. Get the facts. Number one, know the truth. Number two, slow it down. Take it down. Pull it down a notch. Sleep on it. Pray about it. Ask God for wisdom. Number three, look in the mirror. Make sure you're not walking around with a 4x4 in your eye. And I want to say the last thing. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Look where the last thing. Lord says this, verse 5, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye. Watch it. And then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. The Lord wasn't telling him not to do it. He said, just get right, make sure you got it. But then, I want to say, show them the truth. Don't just cut somebody down. Just don't judge them and credit. Show them where they're wrong. Take this book and sit down and show them. That's what the Lord's saying. He said, once you get that, then you can clearly see to take the mote out of that brother's eye. Listen, brother, when you fight it, make sure you got a solution. Show them the truth. Show them what's going on. Just don't be critical and judging. Show the truth. Help them. Help them. Show them out of this blessed old book. And what I'm giving you here this morning, tonight, it's not just for a pastor. In fact, most of it's not. It's for any man or any woman in this church dealing with a brother or a sister. So a lot of times, you can speak to people I can't speak to. A lot of times, people in the church know things I don't know about. That kind of thing. This is just good common sense to help somebody. That's all it is in life. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 1 says this. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, here it is again. Ye which are spiritual. Remember that the spiritual judgeth all things. We're to walk in the Spirit. Ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Not in the flesh, in the Spirit. Show them the truth. I've sat down many times through the years, and I've told you, and I attack these new Bibles, but I can tell you why I attack them too. I'm not just saying something because brother so-and-so said it. I can sit down with anybody and show them. And I've sat down many times. And you ought to be able to ready to answer any man for a reason, the hope that is within you. And you ought to be sit down and show them where they're wrong on these Bibles. Same way with a brother judging somebody or anything like that, brother. Just like that Bible said, Jesus said, once you get that beam out of yours, then you can clearly take that splinter out. Show them the truth. Show them the truth. You know, we get a lot of things, people criticizing this church, kind of things we do, our ministry. We get it all the time. My wife tell you, we've been doing this for 30 years, and I get hateful emails, and people say, I don't think you're doing right. You know what I tell them? Give me a better way, I'll do it. I'm doing the best way I know how. If you got something better, show me. Show me. Just don't criticize and tell me what I'm doing wrong. Show me how to do it better. I'm doing it like the best way I know how out of the Word of God. Just don't criticize. We've had people like that on the streets to us sometimes. We had all kind of emails about the street preaching and some voicemails. You know what I tell them when I tell them? Show me a better way. Show me something. We're doing what Jesus did. We're doing what everybody in that shirt Bible did. We're doing what Moody, all the... Show me something better. And Robert, we'll do it. We'll do it. And won't we, Brother Zito? We're not proud. We don't think we know everything in the whole wide world. We're just trying to do to get some people out of hell. Trying to do something. If we're not doing it right, show us. Show us how to do it. I'll tell you what. I think this church is doing a fantastic job. This church is unbelievable to me. I mean, this church is doing things that no other church around is doing. You know this church? We have two nursing home ministries going on in this church. That's a lot more than these big churches. How do you know? Because you go ask them nursing homes, you ladies the only ones going down there. Nobody else goes down there. Brother Lucian said all 8 years we're the only church went out there to help him like we're doing. We're doing great. His church, people pass out tracts. They're telling people about God. We go to that homeless place. I've never seen so much compassion and kindness to them people out there. Miss Carol amazes me. I'll call her. I'll send out a text the other day. I sent it out. Brother David had passed away. And as soon as I hit that text, before my finger gets up here, the phone's ringing. She says, Brother Terry, do you need for me to take some food over there? Her and Miss Jana took food. You know what they've been doing? They've been going around these restaurants and places and getting food and stuff to take to those homeless people. That's what we ought to be doing. You say what you say? I mean, brother, we're on track. This church is hitting it out of the park, brother. I mean, the things we got going on. Miss Liz called me last week. Whoo, what a blessing. Called me crying. You remember that, don't you, Miss Liz? She called me crying. Said, Brother Terry, I just want to pass a blessing what God gave to me. She said, I had to go down to this hot dog place. And she said, there was a lady over there. She said, I know she's a prostitute. And she said, I went over there and gave her a gospel tract and talked to her about the Lord. She said, when I went out the building, there was a man in a wheelchair. Didn't he have any legs? Is that what it was?
No, he had legs. He just looked
like... In the wheelchair out there, and she got to talk to him, gave him a tract. And she was just crying and said, oh, God just so blessed me to be able to talk to the least of these. Brother, that's what we're about. That's what this church is about. Miss Karen over there... leading a young man to the Lord, come by his house, roof some stuff. I could go on. Miss Rachel hitting nursing homes. Brother Jeff, Big Jeff, called me the other day, and he was about to cry. He was telling me, he said, Brother Terry, he said, I called Jeff, this Jeff, come out here and work on my air conditioner. He said he drove all the way down to Bessemer and worked on my air conditioner. He said he wouldn't even let me pay him, give him gas or nothing. He was about to cry. You know, I told him, Miss Liz, I said, you know, kind of remind me of somebody else a few while back. I said, we had a car locked at the church one night, one late one Sunday night, and I called this guy up way down in Bessemer. And he dropped what he was doing and came all the way to this church and unlocked the door for us and didn't even want to take any money. You know who it was? It's Big Jeff. He just started to laugh when I told him that. You know what this church is? It's on the right tracks, folks. It's doing a lot of things. I could go on and on and on and on about some of the things in this church, brother. I tell you, I love to be around them. I love to be around seeing these things going on. I was talking to Brother Jared the other day, and I was telling him all the stuff this church has got going on, and these people just ready to go, man. And he said, oh, preacher, man, you don't know what a blessing that is. I said, oh, brother, I do know what a blessing that is, man. This church is on the right track, folks. I've talked to some of you the last couple of weeks. Get your thoughts. And everybody said, Brother, Miss Carol, Brother Terry, I love this church. Me and Doc, we love this church. I talked to several of you around and said, what do you think? We're on the right track. They said, preacher, we're in this thing all the way. I'm going to tell you, brethren, this church is on the right track. We're going and doing what we can for the Lord. I got a real blessing by Brother Ben. Of course, I get a lot of blessings with Brother Ben and his pop-ups kind of things. But he blessed my heart about a month ago, and might not be a big thing to most people. But he'd been coming a while, and he'd ask about joining. And I said, well, the way I look at it, Ben, if you come, you're a member. If you don't, you're not. I don't worry about rows and all that stuff. And he'd been coming a while. He came about a month ago, and he said, Brother Terry, I just love this church. I want people to know I'm a part, so I want to come down here and join. Make sure, let them know I'm joining this church. He didn't have to do that. You see why he didn't do that? He wanted to be a part. He wanted to be a part. Let's bow our heads for prayer tonight. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for the wonderful opportunities we have to serve you and love you and lift you up and magnify you and tell people about you and oh, Lord, I wouldn't trade it for everything in the world. All the fame, the fortune, all the money, everything this world could offer me, Lord. It wouldn't even, Lord, I wouldn't even blink at it, Lord. I know where my home is. I know whom I believe in, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him, Lord. And I just love it. Love this little church. Love these people, God. Just want to do something for You, Lord. They just willing. Got a willing heart, like over there in Moses when he brought all this. Said they had a willing heart. And I love that, Father, with it. Pray Your blessing on the week coming up, Lord. And help us to be faithful. Help us to put out these tracts. Help us wherever track we get, whatever opportunity we got, Lord. Wherever it might be, Lord. Help us to speak up for You. Help us, Lord, to tell people about that love that's just amazing love, Lord. About that amazing grace. That sinner, whosoever will, let him come. How simple, how wonderful it is, Lord, to be saved. Know without a shadow of a doubt tonight, Lord, where I'd go if I dropped dead here, Lord. I know where I'd be. No doubt about it. Just like Billy Graham said, I look forward to that day with great anticipation. For that day, I'll see Him face to face. Thank You, Lord. Pray Your blessing on the week now this coming out, Lord. And forgive us some souls, Lord. Give us some souls this week, Lord. And open up some doors and some hearts. So spoke around us, Lord. And we love You tonight, Lord. I'm just so thankful, Lord, for saving my soul, God. I don't have words, Lord, to tell You how much I love You tonight. And I wouldn't take nothing for it, Lord. Like that song Brother Chris sang, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Nothing. We love You tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen, Brother Chris. Love you, buddy. Love that song. Wouldn't take nothing from my journey now.
You have to hunt for a King James. It's like a needle in a
haystack. Is that a new one?
Yeah.
Is that yours?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't read that through the ball. Can you read it?
Yeah, with my glasses.
I can read it better with my glasses off. Hold it up. I can take my glasses off and read better. But I'm both, you know. I got progressive. I hadn't made a copy yet.
Okay.
Okay.
Whenever you get a chance.
Yes. I'll bring it Thursday. So okay.
Okay.
I'll make one of these.
Yeah, because she missed it this morning.